Welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. Each week these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you'll share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor John begins a new series entitled, Relationships That Please God. In the Ten Commandments, we find the kind of relationship God wants with His people, and how He wants us to treat each other here on earth. All God-pleasing relationships are based upon this foundation of law and order. In the book of Genesis, we find that everything is subject to God's laws, but the original laws were changed when sin entered the world through Adam and Eve. The vegetarian diet of all creatures was changed as the curse of sin affected the earth. Then Pastor John focuses on the basic relationship of marriage, upon which society is built, and how homosexuality is a learned behavior God abhors. The message ends on how to raise children so that they will seek out good relationships. It is entitled, Part 1A, What God Intended. Now, let's go to the sanctuary and join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord. And welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church on August the 16th, 2009. And my main sermon today is going to be on what God intended. I'm speaking on a new subject called Relationship That Pleased God. But before I start this message, I'm going to give another sermonette. And after that, we're going to pray, and then we're going to get into the main message. Now, I want to speak not only to the congregation here, but I want to speak to all people around the world who are watching us right now live, and to those of you that are going to be watching us later or listen to a CD or a cassette, that what I'm going to share with you right now is very, very urgent. And I do feel I want to pray before I start this, so let's stand and pray on this. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank and praise you right now for what we have seen and heard in a service so far, Father God. We thank you for Jim White's testimony. And that, Father God, miracles are still happening in that family, not just 30 years ago, but even today. We thank you, Father God, for the miracles we have seen and heard. And we thank you right now that you will open our hearts to understand what is happening in our lives, in our nation, and in the world. And this I ask in Jesus' name. And those who agreed said, Amen and Amen. You may be seated. I want to speak first of all to people outside the United States, that the church in America is in a terrible shape. We are currently experiencing a tremendous attack upon the church. And actually, I will say this, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are in a deathbed. It is a wake where we are simply wondering if we are going to survive or not. I believe that the greater portion of the American church is going to be lost and join the great whore down the road not too far away in the future. You that are living outside the United States, you need to pray for us, because God has used the believers in Christ in America to pull a heavy load for the last 150 years. England sent out missionaries in the last century, and then the Americans started sending out missionaries. And we have been in every country. We have built hospitals. We have sent in missionaries, nurses, teachers, doctors. We have printed Bibles. We have pulled a heavy load. While we were on a foreign field, the devil hit us in our home yard. in our home churches. And here in Sacramento, where there used to be strong Baptist churches, Assembly of God churches, they are today clones of Rick Warren, purpose-driven life. And they simply have been destroyed from within. I've been in the ministry for about 46 years. And over the years, I've been on the radio for 30. And we've had hundreds of people supporting us financially and prayer-wise. What is happening now is that probably half of the people that have supported us or more have gone to be for the Lord Jesus Christ. We used to send out thank you letters where we would have maybe 100, 150, sometimes 200 thank you letters. And this week, as I went to the post office to send out the thank you letters, I could hold them like this, and we had about maybe 30 people that are supporting us outside of church. To those of you outside of church, you might think, well, you know, because of the webcast and so on, we are a large church. If the weather is right, the wind is nice, the sun is shining, creek is not rising, we might muster 50 people, including our children. We are a small church. Right now, we are in a crisis that I have not been in probably forever. This is August the 16th, and we should have paid our rent no later than the 10th. We have not been able to put $1 on the rent. It hasn't been there. There are four of us employed in this church. Myself, my wife, Charles Terrell, and Lois Armacher. And we are not living high on the hogs. The church is very frugal. But because lots of people and so on, we need your help like we never needed before. It is an irony that we've come this far. Because without these facilities, there will not be a webcast like you are seeing today. Now I'm going to read to you from 2 Corinthians chapter 11. You know, over the years, people have said to me, you know, I don't want you to get up there and beg. I don't want you to ask for money. I just want you, just to pray and seek the Lord. I have been doing that. But God is using people to pay and advance his work. The Apostle Paul had the same problem as we do. We read from 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Word to God, you will bear me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that comes preached not a Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which you have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, if you have been thoroughly made manifest among in all things, have I committed an offense in abasing myself, that you might be exalted because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely? I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do your service. And when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man, for that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia, supplied, and in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. As the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Paul had a difficulty. He was God's choice apostle. Wrote the New Testament. Was a man of prayer. And Paul had difficulty with finances. The devil simply does not want the gospel to continue. For many years, we just have television with a regular antenna. when he started with the high-definition television, changing the format and so on. I had reluctantly, in order to, I'm outside the city, I had to get a satellite service. And I've been out of television, I don't want that, watch that much. And I didn't know anything was happening. When I received the regular, actually when I received satellite television, I was flabbergasted. I found 8 Christian networks. I told my wife, wow, we used to have TBN, CBN, the 700 Club, and Jim Baker, PTL. There are 8 television networks. Christian Television Network, the Church Channel, Daystar, God TV, Gospel Music Channel, Trinity Broadcasting Network, The Word, World Harvest Television. I said, we're going to start to check them out. And I have to share this with you. I cannot watch these stations or these networks. I have never, and I don't want to offend anyone, but I want to give it the truth here today. I have never seen such trash as I've seen on these networks. I want to read to you right now, which is going to come out in our newsletter, which is ready for you next week. This is from the Pravda, the Soviet Union main magazine they had under the communists, which was their political mouthpiece. Pravda means truth. Everybody reading it knew they were lying through their teeth. But this is what they wrote in Pravda. About, well, matter of fact, June 2nd, this is an editorial. Listen to this now. You that live outside the United States and you that are living in the United States. It must be said that like the breaking of a great dam, the American descent into Marxism is happening with breathtaking speed against the backdrop of a passive, hopeless sheep. Excuse me, dear reader, I meant people. First, the population was dumbed down through a politicized and substandard educational system based on pop culture rather than the classics. Americans know more about their favorite TV dramas than the drama in D.C. that directly affects their lives. Secondly, their faith in God was destroyed. Under the churches, all tens of thousands of different branches and denominations were for the most part little more than Sunday circuses. And the televangelists and top Protestant mega churches were more than happy to sell out their souls and flocks to be on the winning side of one pseudo-Marxist politician or another. Their flocks would reject Christ in hopes of earthly power. Even our holy Orthodox churches are scandalous liberalized in America. The final collapse, said a Pravda article, has come with the election of Barack Obama. His speed in the past 3 months has been truly impressive. His spending and money printing have been a record setting, not just in America's short history, but in the world. If this keeps up for more than another year, and there's no sign that it will not, America, at best, will resemble the Weimar Republic, and at worst, Zimbabwe. Now, we are in trouble in America. We need help. We need prayer. I'm turning 70 years old this year. And I haven't started to fight yet. I'm just being warmed up. And I'm going to ask every one of you watching us right now, I know that some of you are giving. Others are watching, but you're not giving. We have to compete with these 8 Christian networks, radio programs, everything else. And many of you have been burned to pieces by people that simply have taken your money and living high on the hogs. If you believe in this ministry, you want us to continue, and you want us to continue to press on, I need you to go Monday and send a letter. Use PayPal. Write us. We have a bank account we can be used from overseas. But I need help this week in order for us to come out of this crisis. We do not need just one time shot. We need people committed that will simply say, I'm going to give on an ongoing basis. Otherwise, we will not be able to survive. So I shared it with you. God laid it upon my heart. I know it is not pleasant to say this. I wish I could just get up here and tell you how great it is. But I have to tell you where we're at and what we need. And I want to thank those of you outside these walls. That right now you know that I'm speaking truth. My heart was broken this morning. As I got up, we had a phone call on our message system. And as I listened to that about 6 o'clock this morning, it was a member in our church that simply said this, that I don't have any money left. I got eviction notice. And this is part of the meltdown, breakdown of the economy in the United States. And for the first time, it is hitting home in our church that we have a member in this church that will be on the streets. And I've simply said, God, I cannot even pay rent on the church building. God, I cannot even have salaries to pay out. I've been paid myself for about 2 months. How can I help somebody else? We haven't got it. Please hear my heart. And know that we're not asking for something to get filthy rich. All I'm asking for is help to keep on going. Let me pray right now. Heavenly Father, you heard what I said. And I thank you, Lord, that I know that you are the one that give people wealth. And you're the one that give people the power to make money. And Father God, I know that you are the source. Not one person is our source. We cannot look to one person and say, well, that person did a good job, or this person, that person, Lord. Sometimes it comes from widows, poor people that give on the last what they have. But I thank you, my Heavenly Father, I know that this week we will have a turnaround. And it will be you that are going to move upon people. Father God, I'm not going to promise them they're going to be blessed 1,000 times more. I'm not going to give them any gimmicks. I'm not going to tell them that if they give to this ministry, there's going to be healing and all kinds of other things. There are no such deals, Lord. I'm just asking for people to give, that we can give back and minister. And healing, prosperity, is not tied into how much we give or do not give. It is tied into how we walk with you, how close we are to you, if we live a holy life. And I thank you, my Heavenly Father, right now, that you heard my prayer. And this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now I want you to get to your outlines. And Jim, I really want to say this. I really appreciate you coming here today. And it's wonderful to have people from outside the congregation come and share what God is doing. Well, let me just read to you from my outline here. A church member recently asked me to do a biblical teaching on how to live with a spouse that is not in God's will. I looked sheepishly at the person and thought to myself that I have never preached on a subject and didn't know how to address it. So I told the person I would think and pray about it. As I pressed God for an answer, the Holy Spirit told me that he was responsible for prompting this person, and I was to preach on a subject. And here is what the Holy Spirit had me to write down. Now, I had never been this world before. I didn't go to my library and try to pull out books, you know, on how to live with a difficult spouse or things like this. I simply said, God, you have to give me. And I got a piece of paper out and I started writing down a whole bunch of scriptures. And I realized I got a serious coming. And then I said, God, where do I start? And God said, lay a foundation. Lay a foundation. And I want to take you right now to Genesis. It's going to take maybe 3 or 4 sermons. I don't know. We see how much God gives us. But eventually, we're going to learn how to live with a difficult spouse. Or if you got difficult children. Or if you got difficult parents. Or if you got difficult in-laws or outlaws. The first thing we want to lay down today is this. God is a God of law and order. Since everything begins and ends with God, as far as the earth is concerned, we need to look at how God set it up in the beginning. Now, we're going to read Genesis like we have never read it before. And I'm going to start now with for the first 10 verses. And let me read this to you from my outline. When God made a creation, it was made under law and created in such a way that it followed a pattern God spoke out the way it was to function. God is a person of law. God is law. Satan is chaos. The demons are chaotic. God is a God of law and order. Let me just give you this. How many of you have thanked God for gravity? Some person has. You realize that you do not need a seatbelt to sit on these chairs. Because we have the law of gravity that works 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, year in and year out, which simply means that we have a gravity that pulls us down. Otherwise, we'd be bouncing all over this place here. We couldn't do anything. Can you imagine going to the bathroom in no gravity? Ask the astronauts. Their bathrooms is a miracle. Can you imagine drinking water in no gravity? They have to have squeeze bottles. God is a God of order. Have you read now? In the beginning, God created heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. Let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. And the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, let the waters in the heaven be gathered together into one place. Let the dry land appear, and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and again and together the waters called the seas. And God saw that it was good. What's the big deal now with land and sea? This planet is very well regulated. If we for some reason would move our planet, let's say 100 miles, either away from the sun or closer to the sun, it would change the temperature. It would be a dramatic climate change. Think about this. The earth is, first of all, spinning around itself. Have you ever wondered, now you know that we have friction. And The earth is spinning by the same speed every day for the last 7,000 years. We have friction. Who makes this spinning constant? Not only is the earth spinning this way, but then the earth is moving around the sun, and it goes about 365 days for it to go one round around the sun. This has been going on for 7,000 years. We have friction even out in outer space. There's all kind of powers and magnetism and so on and gravity going there. Who keeps that constant? Now comes another thing that I want you to think about. The earth is not only tumbling and moving this way, but the earth is also moving sideways as it goes. It goes this way and come around, and then it goes back this way and go this way. And the question is now, who is making all this happen? Because, you see, if the earth was not tilting back and forth, we would not have summer and winter, fall and spring. Isn't it amazing? Now you take the oceans. Without the oceans, we will break and be like the moon. We have a tremendous evaporation on the oceans that brings up the clouds and brings in the water, because we do not have water on land. It comes in. It's a cycle. Law and order. God creates law and order. In verses 11 through 13, we find about the vegetation. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed and a fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and a tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. I want you to think about this. Do you realize that every tree, every plant, every flower has its own DNA? You can actually take anything that it grows, and it will have in it its own DNA. Angels can go around and just measure and look upon trees and everything else. They can tell exactly what it is. Now, when God created this, when he created an apple, when he created a plum, or whatever it is, he created in such a way that the seed would have the DNA to form another tree, another plant. And this has been going on for more than 7,000 years. Now, a lot of people say, well, you know, I don't believe in creation. Well, if you don't believe in creation, let me tell you a fantastic story. This is a watch. It's a Timex. I bought it 30 years ago for $25. And it's very nice. I like it. I probably get buried with it. You know what I found this watch? I was out one day walking in the forest, and, you know, it was a mist that rained the day before and so on, and this had just formed itself in a mud pool. There had been lightning coming down, and the water been moving in mud, and suddenly this watch was made in the mud. And someone said, I believe it. If you think that this entire creation is by chance, I would say you have more faith than anyone else, because to have faith in that, you really had to be, I would say, stupefied into faith. God created vegetation to function under his laws. God created lights in the heavens under his laws, 14 through 19. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. Let them be for signs and for seasons, for days and years. And let there be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the great light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God sent them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over day and over night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Now think about this. The sun is a hydrogen bomb. The sun is a hydrogen bomb. We have fission up there. We have hydrogen. And you know, if you have a hydrogen bomb or an atomic bomb, there's radiation. Can you imagine a God able to create a continuing exploding hydrogen bomb? The sun is, if we would take the sun and put it in a globe, we can take 1 million planets like the Earth and put inside that. That's the size of our sun. The sun is one of the smallest stars in the universe. And I believe, I believe that every second the earth is burning up 5,000 tons of material. Every second. Has been doing that for 7,000 years. We've still got things left up there. The scientists have estimated the sun will last another 5,000 years and it will burn itself out and become a supernova. God simply said, man, can you imagine now we got a hydrogen bomb up there sending out light, and God creates grass, trees, and they can sit in that light and not be destroyed and produce oxygen so we have something to breathe. And they are simply taking in carbon dioxide. God created animals, birds, fish, and insects under his laws. Let's read verses 20 through 25. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that has life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great waves, and every living creature that moves with the waters brought forth abundantly after the kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let fowl multiply the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle to their kind, and everything that creeps upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. When was the last time you looked at a bird? And you know, you take a bird, and in the spring, the birds will mate. And while they are mating, they're building a nest. Birds build different type of nests. But have you ever asked this question now? Who is teaching a baby chick bird how to build a nest? Some build with mud, some with grass, some this way, some that way. Who's teaching them? Does mama bird say, okay, we're going to have a class today. When you get older, we're going to teach you how to build a nest. You know what? Every living thing, from the smallest mosquito little insect to an elephant, everyone has a chip, a small little computer. Even a mosquito has a little chip in it. And when God created them from the beginning, he simply taught each bird, each kind, and laid in that chip This is how you build a nest. You take mud, straws, you build it like this. And when the birds get to a certain age, they can begin to have their own, they are fertile. Automatically, they chip in there, tells that bird how to do that. You still believe in evolution? Man, if you look upon it, have you ever thought about Canadian geese? Now, how does you teach a Canadian goose to simply be feeding here or in Mexico during the winter time? How do they know how to get up in the spring, and you see them go and build tremendous formations in the air? If you see that, you see them by the millions. And then suddenly one day, they take off and go north. Canada, Alaska, and you know what? The birds, the offspring, always go to the exact spot where they were hatched. Who's teaching them that? They get up into the north, they build their nest, they lay their eggs, they hatch them, they train their young ones. Fall comes, they fly south. How do they know where to go? God created law and order. Look in nature and you'll find law and order. There is no rebellion. But we have law and order. Humans and all living things, let me then go to part number 5, how God created the man. Have you picked that up in the next verses here? In verse 26, you might want to write it in on your outline. We forgot to write it in. We're running out of ink. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle of all the earth. And over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him. Male and female created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Replenish the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air. And over every living thing that moves upon the earth. God created man. Let me ask you this now. Who taught you how to digest your food? How old were you when your mother said, now I'm going to teach you how you're going to digest the food in your intestines? It's automatic. The heartbeat is automatic. We can't control the heart. We can control the breathing. I can breathe. I can stop breathing for a little while. The breathing is both automatic and manual. But you know, blood pressure, heartbeat, digestion, bowel movements. The only thing God said was this. Here's what you got to do, folks. Open your mouth, put the fuel in, chew it well, swallow it, I'll take care of the rest of it, and when it's done, go to the bathroom and empty it out, and you are on automatic. Isn't it amazing? We breathe, we eat, we put out our waste. It's all lawful. What is cancer? Cancer is rebellion. Cancer is when a cell in the body says, I am no longer going to follow God's laws. I'm going to build my own thing. And he takes other cells with him. And then they begin to split and they build what is called a tumor. A tumor is rebellion. No living being can have life unless there is a spirit behind it. Behind cancer is a demonic force that give life to those cancer cells. And what do the cancer cells do? They're not very smart. They simply move through the body and eventually kill themselves by killing their body. That's rebellion. Humans and all living things were vegetarians. Wow. And this was God's law for how they were to sustain themselves. There was no killing or shedding of blood. Verse number 29. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, when there is life, I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. And God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. God simply said this. I'm going to have them all be vegetarians because there's going to be no killing. The tigers, lions, eating grass and herbs. They were living on the green stuff growing. That was God's perfect will. There were no such thing that simply that, you know, you have what they call it, the food chain, where this guy eats this guy, and this guy eats this guy, and so on. That came because of sin. Let me have you now turn to your outline here. Sin challenged the original laws. According to laws, according to God's perfect law, man and all created beings were to obey into the laws of God, resulting in a perfect world with total harmony. I really want to hammer in now, laws. Why can we drive on the streets? The reason is we have traffic laws. Now we grumble and we say, I don't like this, I don't like this and this and that. What would happen if we simply said there will be no more traffic laws? If you want to go on red, go on red. If you want to stop on green, do whatever you want to do with yellow. Drive on either side of the road, whatever you want to do. How much will you move on our roads? Chaos. Accidents. Difficulty. In order to function, we have to have laws. Do you realize that because we have laws, you can have a car, you can own the car? If there were no laws, some people do this anyway. They go up and do a carjacking, just open the door and say, get out, you know, I'm going to take your car, here's a gun. You get out of the car. Do you know why you can have property? Because we have laws governing properties, and you see, as long as we honor property laws, we can keep our properties. But if you be like the communists, they simply say, you know, what's mine is mine, what's yours, we're going to divide and discuss. That's communism. Socialism, Marxism is simply saying, but you know, I'm going to take from yours and I'm going to distribute your wealth. But God is a God of law and order. Now, God warned Adam that things would change and death would come into the creation if we disobeyed. Genesis chapter 2, verse number 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat of it, for in the day that you eat thereof you shall surely die. God simply said, this is my law now. You can eat everything except from that one tree. And Adam and Eve, they simply would not contain themselves. They couldn't take it. In a testimony here today, we heard Jim White say this, that he was given shots. These were narcotics in order for his pain. And then one day the doctor said this, I cannot give them anymore because you will become an addict. Do you understand that in America today we have millions of addicts to narcotics through what they call legal medication? Now we have no law and order. You take a person that is just a normal person, you know, working from 8 to 5, whatever, and they get sick or hurt or whatever, and they start taking this drug, and after a while they're hooked on it, and there is no difference between legal narcotics and illegal narcotics. They strike the body just as hard. There's an addiction. And you can find that the grandma, she's hooked on that, not heroin, but she's hooked, you know, on Vicodin or whatever it is. And grandma will get violent if you don't get it. She says, I gotta have my pills. Rebellion. And who started it? It's coming from the pharmaceutical industry, from the medical doctors. Instead of simply dealing with the problem of people, they give them drugs, more drugs. Rebellion. And then we wonder, you know, what's going on? Adam and Eve disobeyed. And the entire creation on earth fell under death, sin, and destruction. Turn to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. If you pick it up here, the first few verses I'll read here. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, yea, has God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Eve had a little lie here. God didn't say, don't touch it. God said, don't eat it. Lying is destructive. It destroys the fiber of morality. Lying is rebellion. It used to be said that a handshake 100 years ago was good. You didn't need any contracts. We have today lawyers by galore. And the lawyers draw up all kind of contracts. And the contracts are drawn up so they can be broken. I want you to think right now. There are no white lies. They're all black lies. But you see, when we say an untruth, what are we doing? The Bible says God is light, in whom is no darkness at all. God is truth. When we say a lie, we are simply destroying our integrity. And you know, we don't want people to lie to us. But it seems that we don't care lying to other people. He just added this here because we read before, it says, God said you should not eat of it. And he said now that we should not touch it lest you die. That was the first entrance. Hear me closely now. When you lie, you are opening your spiritual front door wide open, and you're simply saying to the devil, come on in and have supper with me. Lying gives Satan and his demons access to you. A legal access. It creates sickness and conflict in us. You know, liars never sleep good. And a liar cannot really remember, what did I tell this person? What did I tell that person? You know, they always, you know, moving around in different stories. If you tell the truth, you don't have to worry about a bad memory. You just tell the truth. Liars must have a good memory. And the serpent unto the woman, you shall not surely die. What do you do? He lied right back to her. Have you ever looked upon the advertisement you see on television or in the and the papers and so on. Do you believe the advertisement? You know, advertisement is a slick way of simply having you to buy something that many times you don't need. And it is basically deception. If you really want to find out a product, you don't go to the salesman and say, you know, is this really a good product? You go, oh, yeah, this is a good product, because he wants your money. The serpent lied and said, you'll not surely die. For God is known that the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Notice not, verse 4 is a lie. Verse 5 is truth. That's how the devil operates. Lies and truth sandwiched together. Deception. This is why a Christian can never work in intelligence. A Christian can never work for the CIA or the FBI or any other intelligence because you are paid to lie. Deception. What did Eve do with it? And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, advertisement, it was pleasant to the eyes, lust, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took out a fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also to the husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. You remember, as we were growing up, and some of you are still children, that you know, when we got into sin, you never seen a 5-year-old start as a bank robber. But a 5-year-old would go and steal from mommy's purse. A 5-year-old would go and steal the cookie, whatever it is, and then would lie about it. And you see, what happened is, we have a gradual destruction until one day there is theft. We cross the line. It's just like an alcoholic. You never hear a person say, well, this is my first glass or this is my first bottle of beer. I am going to be an alcoholic. No one plans to be an alcoholic. No one plans to be a drug addict. No one plans to be hooked or smoking, whatever it is. It's a gradual rebellion and bondage which leaves us from law and order. What happened unto them? Fear came in. And they heard a voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves in the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? And he said, I heard your voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Fear is a gift of Satan. Fear is faith in the devil. People have fear, tremendous amount of fear around us. When we lie, when we get in rebellion, there is fear to be found out. Turn to Romans 8. Romans chapter 8. If you want to plow that into verse number 19. If you read this. For the earnest expectation of the creature waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bond of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruit of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man sees, Why does he yet hope for it? But if he hope for what we see not, then we do, then do we with patience wait for it. The entire creation, birds, fishes, animals, vegetation, is crying out for deliverance. It's under bondage. Everything on this earth is cursed because of sin. Nothing is perfect. Destruction. Look upon fruit trees. We have to spray them because we got fungus. We got bacteria. We got insects. We got to do all kind of different things in order to protect it. Destruction. Lawlessness. Because of sin. Let me take it on to Genesis chapter 3. This might be hard for some of you right now, because you've been raised in liberal Marxist socialist education. God was the first one to spill blood as a token of the coming atonement of Christ on the cross. Genesis 3:21. Unto Adam also to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. Animals, they're not sinned. They were sinless. God simply went and took animals, we do not know how many, and he had to kill them to make fur clothes. Their blood had to be spilt, which was the first indication that blood has to pay for sin. Israel always had sacrifices, but it was not until Jesus Christ that we had the final blood spilt. Then verses 22 through 24. And the Lord God said, behold, a man is become as one of us, to know good and evil, and now lest he put forth his hand, and take also the tree of life, and eat, and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden, to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims, and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Rebellion is always there. Last fall, or actually early this year, three young, either were Russians or Ukrainian, young men decided to go to a river up in Yuba County, Masada County. And they decided, their parents were Christians, but they decided, you know, I don't care about mom and dad, I don't care about God. We're going to drink. We're going to have a good time. And they took their booze with them and their car. And after they'd been drinking for a while and got a little bit gassed up, they decided to play a game. Running donuts on the parking lot of some place, but it was a level place there. And they all got in the car, had a good time. You know, you've seen drunk people. Oh, yeah, yeah, good time, you know. And they were spinning around, and suddenly they spun out, and the car hit the river. And they were drunk, and the car sank. It was a very swift-running river. There was some fishermen just below, there may be 100 or 200 feet below. And they heard these young boys cuss and swear. Instead of calling on God, they were cussing and swearing to a max. And then the fishermen said, one by one, the voices got silent. And in about a week, they found one of them the next day or so, but in about a week or so, they found their bodies as they washed up on the shore. And they died. Rebellion. Lawlessness. This is what we got to fight if you are going to be victorious. And before you can live with your spouse, before we can have victory with the other people, we got to have victory inside of us. When we have victory inside of us, then God will give us victory on the outside. Let me read about marriage. Marriage, God's law for man. God never created homosexuality. Instead, this is an expression of lawlessness. Since God has clearly stated that all living beings were to produce offspring, and the only way for offspring to come into existence is for a male and a female to mate. Do you think for a moment that an almighty God that has such power, that he will build in a deficiency in a man so that they get confused and become a homosexual? It's a learned behavior. It's a learned behavior. And now, with same-sex marriages, what do you think two male homosexuals, you probably know what I mean, or two female, do you think they're going to teach their adopted children that, you know, you should look for a man or a woman and be married? What do you think they're going to teach them? Be a homo like me. It's going to explode. God then created marriage as a part of his law for mankind and made it clear that marriage is between one man and one woman. Genesis 2:18. Genesis 2:18. And the Lord God said, it is not good for that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord formed every beast out of the field, every fowl of the air, and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs, and he closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought unto the man. And Adam said, this is not bone of my bones, and flesh of my flesh. She should be called woman, because she was taken out of man. If God would have wanted to, he could have simply placed in Adam the ovaries, and he could have put testicles in there, and he could have simply, you know, had an automatic, what do you call it, conception. And you know, the man could simply also carry the child. He could have built it that way. Let me tell you this, if you really think about it, men in our bones around the hips, men do not have a hole, women do. Isn't that amazing? There are certain things. So God simply says this, now I'm going to make someone that is different from man. She's a woman, she's a female. Why? Because a man cannot by himself have children. A woman by herself cannot have children. It takes a man and a woman together to be one flesh. And what is one flesh? The child. I am a combination of my dad and my mom. I am one flesh. Came out of two. Spiritually, you also become one flesh with a woman when you have sex with your wife. But this is how God made it. Law and order. And if we have good marriages, now I've been blessed, probably about 3 or 4 years, we have our 50th anniversary. And I have had a good marriage. Not because I'm that terrific of a husband, but because, you see, I made a commitment. I was only 21 years old, just about 21 years old when I got married. I think it was 21, 22, whatever. But I was not even dry behind my ears. And I know that my relative says, you know, that's a disaster for this boy to get married. But you see, God was in it. My wife is more mature. And we made a commitment. We made a commitment to stay together. And my wife early said this to me. This is a commitment we got very early in the marriage. She said this, "You and I will never go to sleep if we have had an argument until we make up first. We don't want to sleep on our anger. Because then in the morning you're twice as bad as in the evening before." And for over 40 years since we've done, we never go to bed unless we say, if we had a tiff, we say, "Forgive me." We make it up, and that's how we go to bed. But we made a commitment. You can make a commitment. We need to make commitments to say, "I'm going to be faithful to God. I'm going to be faithful to my spouse. I'm going to be faithful to my child. I'm going to be faithful to my parents. I'm going to be faithful." And to be faithful, you are lawful. If you're lawful, you can be faithful. God did not intend for a man and his wife to divorce, nor did he intend for men to have more than one wife. Turn to Matthew chapter 19. That's Matthew the 19th chapter. Matthew 19. We pick it up in verse number 1. "And it came to pass when Jesus finished his sayings, he departed from Galilee and came into the coast of Judea beyond Jordan. And great multitude followed him, and he healed them there. The Pharisees also came to him, tempting him, saying to him, 'Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause?' And he answered and said to them, 'Have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder.'" God never said to Adam and Eve, "If it doesn't work out, Adam, come on back, I'll take another rib, we'll give another try." It was one rib, one woman, and they stayed together. It has to do with commitment. It's your thinking. You see, if you think when you get married, if you think divorce, your marriage is going to go in pieces. When you get married, you simply think this is it. It will go. Then say, they said unto him, "Why did Moses then command to give a writing a divorcement and to put her away?" He said unto them, "Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning it was not so. Divorce is rebellion." What do we do if we have been divorced? God will forgive. But we need to teach our children divorce is not an option. If you teach your children, well, you know, if it doesn't work out, you know, try something else, God will understand. If we teach your children right, then they will do what is right. "And I send to you, whosoever shall put away his wife except me for fornication, and shall marry another, commits adultery. And whosoever marries her which you put away does commit adultery." There's only one thing that breaks up a marriage, that's adultery. It's the only thing that breaks a marriage. And why do you think that Satan has so much pornography today? I have said it before. I believe that probably 60 to 70% of all men in America are addicted to pornography, including the preachers. We just had a preacher in Florida, and this is one of these mega churches about a month ago, and he and his wife started a church in 1996 in a hotel ballroom, a few people, built it up to 7,000 attending Sunday morning. Now the man, you know, they build them up like this, they get a little bit of money. The man travels alone to Paris of all the places. And of course there he doesn't go to church. He goes to a club and finds a dancer. And then he begins an affair with a dancer that lasts for 4 years. While he's coming back home and standing in the pulpit preaching. Finally, it blows open. His wife divorces him and leaves. Most of the congregation leave, and someone interviewed and laid in the church. Are you not leaving? Now the pastor has such a compassionate heart. And you know, he's sincere. He might have made a mistake, but he's sincere. That's a church in America today. Where does it come from? Rebellion. We are not lawful people. It used to be that people said, you know, well, if you're going to have a deacon or deaconess, you know, and a Sunday school teacher, you cannot have a divorced person. Even in this church, we don't have the luxury. I think we've got maybe 5 or 6 couples here that have not been divorced. And everybody else has pretty much been in and out. Some have had their spouses die. But if you go to churches today, it is terrible. 50% or more have divorced, remarried, second time, third time, and so on. What do you do if you're divorced? Like I said, you ask God for forgiveness. You simply tell him you made a mistake. He will forgive you. You stay faithful to the one you got now. You don't toss that person out. Says, well, you know, I had someone tell me this, you know, when I got married to my second wife, you know, it's not really good because the person doing it was a witch. And therefore, I'm not really married, so I can dump her. I've heard excuses, you know, that is unbelievable. You stay with your wife, what you got now, your husband, and you work it out with fear and trembling. And simply thank God that you have a second chance. Raising children. I'm going to take this one point that we say the next for next week. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Since we are a Pentecostal church, I can do a little bit different. If it was a Baptist church, man, I got to follow that bulletin. Even if I die. Deuteronomy 6. The first written instruction on child rearing were recorded by Moses, who told the people that educating children with the word of God was an absolute necessity. Deuteronomy 6, 1 through 9. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgment, which the Lord God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in a land where you go to possess it, that you might fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, you and your son and your son's son, and all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with you, that you may increase mightily, as the Lord God of the Father had promised you, in a land that flows with milk and honey. I want you to see something now. God is saying this through Moses. Keep his commandments. Do these different things, and I will bless you, bless you, bless you. Law and order brings blessings. Hear Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you this day shall be in your heart. You got to make up your mind. Do you really love the Lord God with all your heart and your mind? If you don't, it's going to be an opening for the devil. And look now in verse 7. And you shall teach them diligently unto your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. Many parents made a mistake. You simply did not have time to spend time with the children. The father was too busy making money. The mom was too busy taking care of the home. There were no family devotions. There were no Bible reading together. There were no instructions. So what happened? Your children got older. You sent them to public schools. They come back and say, hey, Mom, I didn't know you were a monkey. And then rebellion sets in. You and I have been in rebellion when we grew up. We know how it is. There's two families in this church that I'm really looking up to. One is a Costa Rican family, and the other is a Charles and Katarina Terrell. Linda and Natalia, Andrew, Isaac, David are raised on the Word of God. Mom, Dad, taking time, training them. Natalia, when Cindy goes out shopping, if she comes up and she thinks that someone at the checkout stand is sinning, she would go up and say, you know, that's a sin. What does Mama do? Saying, don't say that. Hey, you train a child, they're going to tell it like it is. Amen. Did you see Andrew up here today? He was serious. He can sit in that chair down here the whole service through, but we have worship service with his picture Bible. That little boy is called by God. But how they came to be, his mom and dad, just like Cindy and Vasily, have been reading the word, praying, and then living in front of them and live it out. Now, if you're mom and dad, and you know you're teaching the word of God, and then you know you have a drink, you know, you smoke, you know, and take some dope and so on. Little Junior's going to say, hey, Mom, why don't you hang up that Bible? You're a hypocrite. And you should teach them diligently. Unto your children, you should talk to them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you should bind them for a sign upon your hand, that should be as frontly between your eyes. And you shall write them upon a post of your house and on your gates. Very good instruction. I wish my mom and dad would have done that. It would have saved me a lot of heartaches. It would save me a stint in a clink. It would have saved me a lot of heartaches, pain, if I would have been raised that way. But you know what? I cannot blame my mom and dad. That's how they were raised. And it goes back for generations. But I can do something. I can change myself. And this is what you got to do. Regardless how you're raised or whatever happened, you can simply say, hold it. Right here, I'm going to change. I'm going to get into the Word of God. I'm going to be a man or woman of a God. You might be beyond the age of childbirth. You might not have any children. But God bless you. Just like my wife and I, we never got any children. There are plenty of children around that needs someone to love them. Lots of children that need someone to take time with them. And you should teach them diligently. And your children, as you talk of them, when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. So what are we going to do? We need law and order. But it has to begin in us. Let me close the scripture. This is a bonus scripture. I got to close it with a scripture from Galatians. This is Galatians. I don't know if they'd be able to get it up. They are quick back there, but we'll see. Galatians. And I want to go to the last chapter, 6. And begin with verse number 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. We got to remember this now. This is a law, a spiritual law. Whatever you sow, you will reap. Now, I was blessed with my wife because we came to Christ when we were about 24, 25. And we had sown some bad stuff before, but we already got that pretty much torn up. We got some good stuff coming in. But the good thing is this, you can sow and it can grow fast. And nevertheless, for he that soweth to the flesh shall the flesh reap corruption. For he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. Now, would you and I have been sowing to the flesh before. We have simply concerned about me, myself, and I. That's been the focus. Let the focus now be on God, others, and myself last. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Notice here today when I asked for money. I didn't say this. If you folks now write some big fat checks, you know. Boy, are we going to pray for you. I'm going to give you a bottle of oil that we have got just straight from Israel. It's virgin oil, you know, and it's powerful. We're not promising anything like this. But this is what God says. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Be a spiritual farmer. Simply say this. I'm going to redo my farm. Get the plow in there and plow up all the bad stuff. Repent to God. Reject it. Renounce it. Clean up. Go through deliverance, get baptized in water, and then say, God, here I am. I'm ready now to put down good seed. And God will give you good seed and a great crop. Guaranteed on the word of God. The question is, are we going to do it or are we not going to do it? Let me say this, and I'm going to close. Now, I have to come here every Sunday. I'm the pastor. You don't have to come. Some of you are very faithful and you're coming, you know, every week and so on. But do you think that ever there's a time in my life when I wake up a Sunday morning and I feel like, you know, I don't want to go to church today? Oh, man. Look at the weather out there. Look, hear the birds singing, you know. I just want to go out, you know. I don't want to go down to church. You ever think a thought like that coming, a pastor? Mm-hmm. Or do you think, for example, you know, when I know, you know, we can't pay our bills and stuff, you know, it would have been so nice to simply call up Charles and say, Charles, I don't want to face the church today. You go down and tell them. But you know what it takes? Discipline. I love Jesus. Jesus wants me to be faithful. I put my hand to the plow. I'm not going to look back to the side. For good or worse or whatever it is, I'm going to stay with it. If you make a decision like that, your life will turn around. And you can begin to have a tremendous crop. It's between you and God. Let's stand for prayer. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you right now for these moments we had today. And oh God, I thank you for the people who gave us here today. I thank you, Father God, for the message that's been streaming out via satellites and wherever it goes out, Father God, around in the world. And I pray right now that people here in front of their screens will stop and pray and say, my Heavenly Father, I am not satisfied. I'm walking with you now, but I want more and I want more and more. Help me, Lord, today to surrender a little bit more and to get closer to you. And this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You that are watching us, if you want to rededicate your life, I got people standing by my phone who can take a call today. If you're here in church, come on down. The elders are going to come down right now and my deacons. Pray with you. If you want to say this, I want to rededicate my life. I want to pray for somebody. I need a healing. Whatever it is. The altars are open. And you that are watching, call us, write us, and pray. And God will touch you right now as we seek the Lord.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but three of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places: heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that You would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in You. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that You paid for my sins on the cross through Your shed blood, and that You died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank You for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with You. Help me to be obedient and to walk with You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Listening to Pastor John S. Terrell of Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. This message was the first part in the series, Relationships That Please God, and was entitled, What God Intended. In the Ten Commandments, God showed us what He wants and how He wants us to treat each other here on earth. All God-pleasing relationships are based upon the foundation that law and order are important to God. In the book of Genesis, we find everything is subject to God's laws, but the original laws were changed when sin entered the world through Adam and Eve. The vegetarian diet of all creatures was changed as some became food for others, and blood was shed because of the curse of sin. Then Pastor John focused on the basic relationship of marriage upon which society is built, and how homosexuality is a learned behavior God abhors. The message ended on how to raise children so that they will seek out good relationships. It is available on cassette, CD, and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1199. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can learn more about Pastor Terrell's ministry, read insightful articles, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California 95681. If you prefer to call us, the toll-free number in the United States is 1-888-708-3232. That's 1-888-708-3232. For calls from outside the U.S., the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.